What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I hope you are all having a happy Monday. Gosh, there has been a lot going on in the world of late. I'm going to just set off as I always do with a little bit of news from mygreenpod.com. It's actually a post that went live today. This is about Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, the celebrity chef from the telly. He's accused ministers of going into hiding as the Climate and Nature Bill returns to Parliament. So the celebrity chef led a coalition of scientists and business leaders and campaigners to Downing Street to deliver a letter to the Prime Minister urging him to back the law change. The letter warns of increased floods, which we've obviously seen very recently in Texas, economic instability and threats to national security if climate change and nature depletion are not properly addressed. And those joining the broadcaster included Sarah Morse, who's Triodos Bank's chief financial advisor, Ellen Bradley, she's a UK Youth for Nature co-director, the Reverend Canon Giles Goddard, Faith for the Climate Chair, and Oxford University's Professor Dame Milner Gulland. And so the signatories hit out at the vast amounts of public money being spent on fossil fuel subsidies and argue ministers' previous commitments to enact the ambitions of the bill should be honoured. So essentially what's happened is that, you know, there were some commitments made. Those commitments, as usual, haven't been followed through by the government. I mean, this article does go on. It's actually very, very interesting. And I do highly recommend you go to mygreenpod.com just to have a look at that article. There's a new article that goes up onto the site every single day. So if you do care about the sustainability movements, about ways that you can become a solution to what perhaps is seen as the biggest problem of humanity's time, this climate crisis that we're living in, then do head over there, get yourself clued up, and then you can take those conversations to the breakfast table, to the coffee shop, to family and friends. And I think that's the way we get the biggest kind of movement and change, is actually in being an inspiration for those immediate people around us. It does have a huge impact, I know that for sure. But let's move to today's guest. Now, I'm super excited about this. This is somebody that's been on my radar, I think, ever since I kind of started my working career. And, you know, it's somebody that you will all know. I'm not going to just go on and on and on. Today's guest is Lynn Franks, who is, in fact, an OBE. Lynn is a global leader in women's empowerment, communication strategist and social visionary. Let me just read you her bio so it'll just jog some memories of Lynn's past work. So Lynn is a globally renowned thought leader and change maker whose work at the intersection of communications, fashion, sustainability and women's empowerment has spanned more than five decades. She first rose to prominence in 1970s and 80s as the founder of Lynn Franks PR, which is where you'll probably recognise the name, where she revolutionised the landscape of public relations, spearheading campaigns for many of the world's most iconic fashion and lifestyle brands. Her bold, imaginative approach not only redefined brand storytelling, but helped shape the cultural identity of an entire era. I mean, that's absolutely massive, but it's true. After selling her agency in the early 1990s, Lynn turned her focus to social change, becoming a pioneer in conscious business and women's leadership. She founded Seed, which is Sustainable Enterprise and Empowerment Dynamics, a platform and philosophy designed to support women in aligning personal values with business purpose. Through SEED, which is all capitals, by the way, SEED, she has empowered thousands of women around the world to find their voice, build purpose-led enterprises, and become agents of positive change in their communities. Lynn has worked with global corporations, governments, and grassroots organizations alike, offering strategic insight on gender equality, conscious leadership, and inclusive innovation. She is an accomplished speaker, mentor, and author, and continues to advise on programs for female entrepreneurship and social enterprise development across sectors. And check this. In recognition of her lifelong contribution to women, fashion, and business, Lynn Franks was awarded the Order of the British Empire OBE by His Majesty King Charles III. Congratulations, Lynn. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
It's nice to have you. I know we've had a few hit and misses, and partly my fault, but I'm really, really pleased to have you. Lynn, before we get into your current work and we talk about SEED, let's just go back a little bit, because I remember when I got into work, and I was born in the 70s, started work in 85 or something. You were probably the most talked about person in PR, like as long as I can remember. So what memories do you have of that time, and why do you think you became such a living legend for PR and comms? What was it that made you nail it?
Well, I'm not even sure that PR describes really what I did and what the
Yeah.
agency that I created did. I mean, we just worked very creatively, which I love doing. And when I look back on, I can't remember a lot of it. And then I'll see something like I watched Live Aid last night. Did you see that?
I didn't know.
Oh, it was on BBC Two. They've
Oh, I
done
wish I
both
did.
on BBC iPlayer. You
Yeah,
can
I'll watch it on catch
they
up
made a
tonight.
three-part program, and I was very much part of all that, and I was very involved with Bob Geldof and Harvey Goldsmith and Jasper Conrad and others putting on Fashion Aid at the Albert Hall. And I was at Live Aid and I was backstage at Live Aid. And it's when I watch these things, I got a bit tearful, I have to say, because the stuff that was done back in the 70s and 80s, not just by me, but the general creativity that was out there in the fashion industry, the music industry, and kind of generally things that were going on were just very, very exciting. And I'm
Yeah.
just very blessed that the 5 or 6 decades that I've been working and involved in different projects have allowed me to have this extraordinary life, actually, which I'm still having and very grateful for.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, you're absolutely right. There were some monumental, iconic, like you say, Live Aid, and there was just it seemed to be that people, that had a personality, a profile, a presence, which we call influencers these days, which is all a bit wishy-washy. They used to, actually use their profile to actually make a difference. Not everybody, of course. We seem to have lost that, don't we,
Well, we didn't
in
have
today's
social media
culture.
then. I mean, when you think about it, we didn't have everything recorded on our phones, sadly, because I had some wonderful experiences that I've got no records of. And it was just a different time. It was a different time. I'm very grateful I was around then. And because PR itself, or public relations, was kind of a bit of a stuck, old-fashioned, old boys network, really, that was the kind of correlation to advertising when I first came in.
Yeah.
Going in through fashion was kind of a very easy, if you like, way into creating stories. It's all about storytelling, isn't it, at the end of the day? And
Yes.
creating stories and
Yes.
working with other creatives. Like, I always worked with lots of young designers that were doing amazing things. Catherine Hamnett was my first client, and I took her to a Buddhist exhibition called Choose Life, and that's where she got inspired to do her fantastic t-shirts, which are still out there now under the Choose
Yes.
theme. So all the money goes to refugees now. So that
Nice.
came all out of that period. That was I was practicing Buddhist at that point. That's where it all sort of came from. But we had magazines like The Face and ID and
Yeah.
great music, and it was really the first time that fashion designers and singers and artists, music artists, and all artists, I guess, but music artists particularly, started working together. So mean, if I was doing PR for a fashion show, for example, it would be quite like Body Map or Catherine, and I was doing PR for some of the most exciting designers out there. It would be the beginning of what they now has got established as the front row, which has now almost become a corporate thing. But then having Boy George in the front row, Madonna, Princess Diana. Yeah, it was an amazing, exciting time. And I was very involved in the setting up of Fashion Week, or the catwalk side of it anyway, because there was nowhere central for the designers to show. And they're all young designers with no money. So I went out and raised some money initially from a client of mine, Moen Majani, who was a jeans manufacturer for Gloria Vanderbilt and others. And I got him to give me some money to put a tent up at what was then the Commonwealth Institute, which is now the Conran Museum in Holland Park. And we put a tent up, and then that got too small, and we moved to Chelsea and got other clients of ours to give us some money, like Swatch and Harrods and people, to give us money towards setting up this big focus where British designers could get seen in the same way that they were in Paris and Milan. It was a really amazing time. And as a Buddhist, and as an enthusiastic Buddhist, and I am still practicing, but then I would be chanting with other people that were practicing Buddhists in the fashion industry in those days, which were everybody from models, show producers, hairdressers, everyone. And we'd all be sitting there chanting in the tents in the morning, full vibration, going off down the King's Road. It was amazing times. Live Aid, and I started working with entertainers like Lenny Henry was a client of mine for many years, which is how I met Dawn and Jennifer, which is of course the whole Ab Fab thing, which.
We can't ignore
Yeah, we
that,
can't. And that came from them sort of coming. They didn't know the fashion industry before then at all. And through me, they started going to shows and meeting some of the characters, and obviously observing me as well and my behavior. I am not
can
saying that that was my behavior, but the certain similarities for sure.
we?
And it all became part of what was the 80s. It was amazing, amazing. And then in the nine and end of the 80s, early 90s, as you say, I sold out the business, but I carried on, and I went to live in LA, and I started another business, another PR business, with some kind of sickness that I couldn't let go. But it was interesting working in the States, because it's a whole, we talk the same language, but we're very different over there. Very different. So I was there for 5 years, and that's when I wrote the Seed Handbook, which, as you said, is an acronym for Sustainable Enterprise and Empowerment Dynamics. And I could see there was going to come a time when women would want to start their own small businesses. And sustainability was just being talked about. I was very involved with various NGOs and campaigns to encourage sustainability in business. And I've always been really a bit too early, as I was then. But the book has sold all over the world and come out in various languages, and has really been a precursor to what we see and what you do with your PE awards and all the things you're involved in. Yeah, so it was all kind of starting then, and it was very exciting being in the States and having all that going on. And then it was time to come home, so I came
No, that's great.
home.
That's great. It's wonderful just to get a bit of background on you. I mean, I really want to talk about your current work because that's where I think that, the magic is. But it's great for everybody listening out there just to get some perspective on, just how influential you were before this term, quote unquote, influencers came along. You genuinely were an influencer, i.e., changing, telling stories that shifted consciousness, and you were very much a part of that. I'm thrilled to be talking to you now because I think that we really, really lack storytelling with this issue that we're calling a climate crisis. It's part of the reason why I've kind of flipped it and said, perhaps this is the greatest opportunity humanity's ever had. Certainly that we remember in modern history. But anyway, that's my take on it. But let's just talk about there's two things. Firstly, you mentioned Buddhism a couple of times. How much of an influence has that been in your current purposeful work? I mean, it sounds like it really was
Well,
back in the day.
Buddhism for sure has kept me balanced. And my spiritual practices, which are quite wide, even though on a daily basis I have it is a Buddhist practice, but I've also meditated for many years with the Brahma Kumaris. I don't know if you've come across those
I
wonderful
know them
women.
very well. In fact, Sister Jenna is
Oh,
an
they were giving out
ambassador.
roses at your P
Yes,
Awards.
they were. And
I
Sister
got
Jenna,
told.
and funnily enough, in 1986 or something, when I lived in Wembley Park, I used to go into the Brahma Kumaris' store that they had on the high street. And I was very lucky to have worked with the two kind of senior, Daddy Janky and Sister Janty, and they were the two kind of main players, so I know them
Hey,
very well.
well, Sister Janty still is, and yeah, no, well, me too. And I was very fortunate. I would often do public events with them where I was interviewing Daddy Janky at all sorts of places. They used to sort of ask me, "Would you?" And she never would answer the questions I asked her, and we'd all just end up talking, really. But the Brahma Kumaris and Daddy specifically, but Sister Janty, all of them, Sister Janty, Sister Maureen, they taught me so much about living with service and what true leadership's about. And having values led businesses or business or whatever I do, I have a huge influence. I've been influenced hugely from them, rather. And then I've also kind of got very, especially as I live in Somerset now, very engaged in the whole ritual of women and Mother Earth and sacred feminine. So I went on a journey when I sold the business. I also, my children were a little bit older and I got divorced and I stopped for a while my Buddhist practice. And I really sort of set myself, I didn't set myself anything actually. I just went off on a journey of discovery and explored everything from India to Ecuador to everywhere. I just sort of went and found out who I was and what was going on and what I resonated with in terms of getting in touch with nature as opposed to just living in the fashion industry. So it's been interesting for me.
No, I love that. I love that. I mean, my connection to nature has definitely come through my kind of spiritual practice, and being still, being quieter, and then perhaps one when one becomes still enough, you begin to feel or pick up the kind of resonance or the conversation that nature's trying to have with us all the time. I would personally describe that as feminine, the feminine connection, but whether that's right or not, who knows? It's right for me. No, thank you for that, Lynn. It's empowering to hear that, because maybe this time is about the spiritual awakening in the masses, in humanity, and that's what nature's trying to give us the opportunity to. I want to talk about seed, but it's such a huge, vast conversation. We've got a couple of minutes until we go into the first commercial break. But do you want to just tell us, what kind of, do you remember that moment where you were seeded with the seed idea?
Well, I was sitting in a cafe in Santa Monica with a woman called Anne Field, who was an English woman who lived in the States, who was a wonderful illustrator, and I'd been trying to find her because I had this idea of this book, and I always work with my intuition. I'm always sort of following that path together with my very prominent ADHD, and I thought, yes, that's what I know I'm going to do. I'm going to do a book and it's going to be about women starting a business. And I'm sitting there with Anne and I said, yeah, let's call it the Seed Handbook. It just came in. And of course, using the metaphor of seeds and gardens and planting, was just perfect and still is perfect. So that's become a program that is lit or a series of programs, a huge body of content that I've developed over 25 years. Bought from the book, which has literally been delivered in women's prisons, in corporate boardrooms, in post-war zones, all in different ways. I mean, again, that brings in my kind of, it's so much. It's an e I described it the other day as an ecosystem because it is. There is a network there. There's a lot of women that have met themselves through doing my programs. But it's not an organized network. I'm just trying to decide at the moment, do I need to organize it all or do I just let this organic thing happen? Because it has affected an awful lot of women's lives, whether it be through my books or my talks or through the workshops, through the retreats. I'm working with a number of charities now as well. As I said earlier, I work with women's prisons, but I'm working with the Nelson's Trust, which is a big charity in the Southwest, with groups of women who have kind of had big life changes and not quite sure where they're going right now. So seeing's been very important to what I wouldn't call them disadvantaged women, women that have maybe made a mistake or two in the time, and seed comes in and it comes something that encourages and inspires them to all the potential that they can do, right the way through to sort of 50 plus women who have kind of lost their sense of self. Perhaps kids have left home, been feel invisible. There's a lot of that. So I've been working with another local charity, with community groups, with them. So that's what I've been doing around the Southwest where I am now. And I have a seed hub where I do women's events and trainings. But of course, like lots of people, I went online in COVID. So there's been that's developed as well. I'll be
Yeah.
looking out for a
Gosh,
break.
there's a vast amount, so much to get into. I've
So
got
much.
honestly a million questions popping up in my head. Tell you what we're going to do before we start those questions. We're going to go to a commercial break. Stick with us. We're going to be back with Lynn, finding out exactly what her current campaign is. It's a lot to do with what women want, and we're going to be talking about that some more. So stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith on Leaning to Clean UK Health Radio. I'm here with Lynn Franks. Lynn, we were just getting into, I mean, firstly, you talked about seed and obviously the inspiration for that. And it seems like it's just, as you said, it's turned into an ecosystem. Well, one of the reasons why our paths crossed again very recently was, well, two things actually. I happened to be in New York. We run an event in Times Square for Earth Day. And we were invited back to Trump Tower, funnily enough, not to see Trump, but to go to a women's gathering put together by a guy called Kunal. And there was a lady there that we got talking to. She was speaking to my wife, Katie, and they got into the subject of seed and what women want. And funnily enough, invited Katie to say, you must come to this event that's happening in the UK. And then, would you believe it? 2 weeks later, I come back and in pops an email from you saying, oh, we'd love to invite you to this event. So, you know, massive believer in the whole intuitive mycelium, you know, consciousness connection. So that's the first thing. But what an extraordinary thing. And funnily enough, you know, I was invited, but I was like, I just felt inspired to say, you know, could Katie come because of this had happened. So tell me a little bit about what women want. So you did this research 30 years ago, or some kind of campaign, I guess it was, about what women want 30 years ago. Just
Yeah.
give us a little
Well,
bit of
I didn't.
background.
Well, there was a number of reports not done by me, actually. It started off 31 years ago with a woman called Leslie Abdullah, who was at the event at Westminster 2 weeks ago, who's an amazing activist and feminist and journalist and has been spent her whole life career traveling the world, teaching women how to present themselves, be empowered, start radio stations. And she did a report for Body Shop or with Body Shop for Anita Roddick, which I haven't got anyway, which was really looking at politics and government and what women want on that area.
Okay, yep.
From that, it was the year following year, there was the biggest conference ever held for women, which the UN put on together with lots of NGOs in China. China at that point was very much a closed society, so it was quite a big thing.
Yes.
I, meanwhile, had sold the PR company and was chair of a women's radio station called Viva. And I also presented a show on it called Frankly Speaking. And the problem with Viva was that we could only get an AM license and no one could hear it. We didn't have digital radio in those days.
Yes, everyone listened to
So
FM,
it
didn't
was
they?
some incredible. And so I was asked to be chair of the board. Jazz FM did it. And I, of course, got carried away with it all and got some fantastic speakers and used all my contacts and got incredible things going on there. And when I look back to some of the people I interviewed for my own program, like Gloria Steinem and Anita Roddick, I mean, we had amazing people coming through the door.
Wow,
But of
yeah.
course, it was actually getting it heard was a bit more of a challenge. But it was a wonderful experience. So part of my role as chair of Viva, I brought them in. I went and I wanted to do an event that would bring attention to the fact that there was this going to be this huge conference for women in China that nobody in England was talking about, wasn't in the newspapers. There was absolutely no coverage on it at all. So actually, the first thing I did was went to New York, went to have a meeting with Bella Abzug, who kind of ran the feminist movement in America at that time. It was a very, very scary woman. And I said to her, I think we should do a concert in China and get lots of women rock stars in. English, but it would be international. And was this before Live Aid? I lose track of time. I think it's 10 years later actually, because Live Aid was 85, this was 95. And she said, well, my daughter's working on something like that anyway. I thought, why don't I just do it in England? And I was on the board of the South Bank, so I convinced them to give me the whole of the South Bank for nothing. And I went and talked to Anita Roddick about it, and we thought, let's call it What Women Want. And there was research done by other people that were around, that were involved, Bernadette Vallely, Sue Tibbles, other people, which Anita Roddick and the Body Shop to a large degree sponsored, and they had all the same sort of graphics as I'm still using now. And I put on the event. So I did 2 or 3 days at the South Bank looking at every aspect of a woman's life. We did ask the question, what do you want? But we also looked at sexuality using the internet, natural health, women in business, conscious consumers, women refugees. We had an incredible amount of seminars, workshops, discussions, conversations, and it all ended, I don't know if it ended anyway, on the Saturday night. We had a huge concert, and I spent months sort of getting myself around and about, getting the people I want involved. So Sinead O'Connor, who I was and am a huge fan of, agreed to get involved after I wouldn't leave her alone. And then we got Chrissie Hynde. Then I asked Germaine Greer to come and speak because her voice was the first voice you heard on Sinead's album Universal Mother when she does a speech. She didn't even know Sinead had used it. Sinead found it in the kind of the archives of the BBC. And it starts off by saying, "The opposite of patriarchy is not matriarchy, but fraternity." And I love that. And that's how we, so the album was very well known by Sinead fans, which were packed out in Festival Hall well, it was packed out by Sinead fans. But Jermaine never knew it was being used on an album, doesn't even remember saying it. So I got her, persuaded her, got a car to bring her up from wherever she was living in the country, brought her up and got her on the stage and got her to read the speech. She had to read it because she didn't even remember saying it out loud. And then Sinead came on, blah, 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 and it was amazing. And from there, we just had, and there were other, Sarah Jane Morris, who's a friend, great jazz singer. She was involved. She's going to still be involved when we do it again. And other artists, Angelique Kidjo, Zap Mama, Joe Brand presented it all. It was the most amazing night of my life. So that was what women want. So it was, and they, I had some nuns there from Ireland that Sinead had got me involved with. So the headlines of the Evening Standard were Sex, Nuns, and Rock and Roll at Lynn's Women's Festival. That's how, and it was amazing. And so that was 30 years ago. And people have come to me. Well, first of all, a big issue, you know, I'm sure John Bird, who's so he helped me and supported me, and so they did our official program, which again I haven't got lying around, it's in the other room, but it was amazing. The whole center of the big issue that week, at that point they couldn't find any women big issue sellers, sadly that's not the case now, to sell it outside. I think they found one in the end, and so everybody wanted me to do it every year, and I was just kind of exhausted. So
It's a
I should
big,
have
big
and
thing
could
to
have,
organize.
yeah. So after that, a few years later, I did go back to the South Bank and talk to Jude Kelly, who was running it then, and said, I think it would be great to do it again. And in fact, she then took it over herself with the South Bank at that point and created WOW, which was Women of the World, which is what women want became sort of morphed into. A bit more, it's a bit different from what I did. So it seemed to me that it was time to start what women want. This is the 30th anniversary this year. So I just again followed my intuition. I wanted to do an event. I wanted to ideally do it in the Southwest because I live in the Southwest. I found a lovely woman called Rebecca Day, who Katie's met, who has got a marketing business called Still Curious, and she puts on various events. And I thought, I'm going to ask her if she wants to partner with me. So we built it up, and I have to say that Rebecca and her team have put a huge amount of their time into this, as have I. And we then I said, I thought, let's launch it at Westminster. I know, I've got another idea. And I imagine that the woman that your wife, that Katie met, was probably Marianne Thompson Frank, I
That's
imagine.
it. That's it.
There was a philanthropist that I met through a mutual friend who very, very kindly gave me the funding so I could do the launch at Westminster. She gets around a lot. That's amazing that Katie met her. That is, I didn't know
In
that
Chum
story.
Tower, of all places, there
I
was
did
a
not know that
big, big
story.
group of women that were that gathered, and I was one of two
Amazing.
or three men, I think. It was really,
That's
really powerful.
astonishing. And Marianne never told me that. Anyway, that's great. And yeah, so then we did the launch, and we had 100 extraordinary women. There's still a buzz out. Everybody I speak, it was already, how long was it, 2 weeks ago,
A couple
half
of
a week
weeks ago,
ago. And people are still buzzing and they're saying, okay, what next?
Yes.
What next? So we want to do more research. We want to do more events. The meeting I've got after I finish speaking with you is our planning meeting. But we're together with Bex and her team, we are going to make what women want now the conversation where women's voices can be heard and it's a platform. So we are asking women on community, family, and what they want for the world. And there is an address, which is whatwomenwantnow.co.uk slash the hyphen question. And if they would, or they can look it up on my social media or just look at what women want now on Find Us. But we're trying to now, we're not trying, we are putting out their videos and conversations through social media for the next few months. We then want to do a series of smaller events around the country where we get together with women, really giving them that opportunity to talk about what they want. And not just to say, what do you want? And then they say what they want. And then it's okay, how do we create the solutions together? And then I do ideally, and I know it's going to happen, next spring we're going to Bristol. And we're going to have a whole city event in Bristol, which has got a lot of powerful women in all areas of society there, talking about what women want on the bigger level and what women have achieved, what women have achieved as scientists, what women have achieved in community. We don't talk enough about that. It seems like women are, to some people, and particularly to lots of men, that women are in a powerful place right now. But the truth is, if you look at the figures, we're not. We're still not in any way running things or not want to run things. We want to be equal. That's all we want. We want to be equal and we want to be have a voice with men and but not become like men. I mean, I think we can look in politics today and see that the women there, that particularly on the senior level, are quite aggressive and then they collapse into tears. There's a middle way. I mean, I was not impressed with Rachel Reeves crying last week. I think if you go, you know, if you're going to a leadership place, if you want to have a cry, there's nothing wrong with having a cry, but go into the loo or go outside the room, not be on global television, because it just affects how people see women leaders. They're either aggressive or they're crying. No, there's a different way, and we can do it in collaboration, and we can do it together, and we can do it with men equally, and through cooperation. Like obviously, you and your wife have a good relationship of business relationship as well as you
Yeah,
do.
we do. We
Personal,
do.
which
We
is
do. And
wonderful.
it works really well. And funnily enough, the project that I'm kind of most, really putting a lot of energy into is actually run by two women as well. It's an organization called OMM, OMMM. I must talk to you about it because these are the organization that do the concert in Times Square for Peace Day and for Earth Day. We're doing a COP30 concert, the world's first concert where artists come and perform to nature, not for public. And then we got the Oxford University doing some data research on how nature responds when we offer nature love and
Oh, I'd love to
gratitude.
talk to you about
Yeah,
this
so
because
let's have
I'd
a
love
chat
to
about
involve with
that.
them.
Yeah, I
That would
think
be
I'd love see to be
amazing.
in, yeah, I'd love see to be involved.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is obviously amazing. I mean, look, it's making my hair stand up on end, which is like a kind of spiritual confirmation that we're on the right track. What I'd love to do, Lynn, is I always ask my guests to give us a couple of songs that are kind of soundtracks to their life's work or to how they're feeling right now. And I know you've come up with a beautiful song. Do you want to tell us what song you've chosen first? It's by Joni Mitchell, right?
Well, I think I left it to you. I said anything by
Oh,
Joni
fine.
Mitchell.
Well, in that case, then
I said I love Joni Mitchell. Just her voice gives me tingles down my back. So
Okay, brilliant.
anything.
Well, what a fantastic artist. Well, I can tell you then that it seems like we have agreed to play Both Sides Now by
Lovely.
Joni Mitchell. So I hope
Beautiful.
you enjoy this as much as we do. We're going to go straight to a commercial break after the song, but we will be back with Lynn to find out more about what women want. I'm dying to know what women want. This is like the greatest question of my time. Back soon.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
My apologies. The screen was stuck there, so I couldn't see what was going on, but welcome back. That was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. Why Joni Mitchell, Lynn?
Oh, I just love all that all that stuff from California 70s. I'm just my an old hippie, really.
Nice, nice. And what a beautiful song you chose. Our producer can take that credit. It was absolutely stunning.
That would have been the one. I think I probably was being a bit too much in a hurry when I didn't think it through, but that would have been the one I would
Oh,
have chosen.
good, good.
Oh,
Well, there we go. That just
that
shows
one.
that everything's
Yeah.
working properly and as it should be. Just to remind everybody as well, I know Lynn kind of just shouted out, if you want to get behind the What Women Want campaign, the website is whatwomenwantnow.co.uk. They are looking for, insight to what women do want today through stories and videos, and there's ways of you interacting in any ways that you want to. So go to the site, check it out, join the movement. I mean, it sounds like it's a
Join the
movement.
movement.
Yeah.
It's a movement. It's a movement of change, and we're actually also launching Change Maker Awards, which I have dedicated to the three women that really helped me make this thing happen in the first place 30 years ago. So we're going to have the Sinead O'Connor Award for Change Maker in music and art. We're going to have Anita Roddick Award for Change Maker in business change maker, and Glynis Kinnock, who was very helpful at the time. We're going to have an award for in community and politics, the Change Maker Award. So we're going to start that off in Bristol next year.
Brilliant.
Lots of work to do, and the problem with me is I keep having these ideas. I think I've got a feeling not unlike yourself. And so it's like, I know, let's change the world this way. And I also think, going back to some stuff that you were saying about environment, but I think it goes wider than that. When we look at the world as it is now, it's not a world that we would like to have, I would have envisaged wanting in the future when I was 20, 30, 40 years ago,
Absolutely.
and who would? So how do we start creating a vision of how the world could be? And by creating that vision, we can manifest it. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever. And if we live in the dark, that's what we get. And if we can shift that to the light, so everything I do with What Women Want is like create the image of the world that we want to have and want to live and how we want to live in it. Or whether it's with seed, planting the seeds, creating community pods, which I'm also working on, where women come together in community and decide what they'd like to do as a collective, as a cohort for their community. Whatever it might be, let's use this opportunity to create change, which is another big thing that I definitely was encouraged to think through my contacts with the Brahma Kumaris. As Sister Jayanti once said, which I quoted in a book I wrote years ago, if you just create change with a couple of people and that spreads and that spreads, it's that butterfly effect, isn't it?
It is absolutely. And also there is this, dare I say it, this uprising of the feminine. And I'm definitely not just talking about women, because the
No.
feminine, is the counterbalance to the masculine. The problem is we've lived in this kind of very patriarchal, society over the last at least 2,000 years. And everything that we do now, particularly when it's an outreach to media, something that's going to potentially inspire or storytell, has to be underwritten with what we believe to be feminine kind of consciousness. And our campaign this year was Love Your Mother, and we're still running with that, because it's, yes, it's about your mum, but it's also about the earth. It's like this earth mother that provides everything
Beautiful.
that we
Yeah.
need. And I love the idea of the Change Maker Awards. That's brilliant. Let me know how we can support
Oh,
you. And
I think you and I have got to have a conversation off
yes.
a question about it, how we can support each other and
Yes.
creatively give birth to a few new ideas that
Yeah,
could
for sure.
go up
Funnily enough,
my
I'm
way.
in Bristol this Thursday, because I'm invited to the Soil Association Boom Awards. So
Ah.
I don't know if you're going, but if you are,
I'm no,
then
I'm not. I'm not
maybe we
far
can
from
meet up.
Bristol. I'm an hour from Bristol, but I'm not in Bristol this week. I'm
No,
actually
fair enough,
next
fair enough.
year.
But we're definitely so look, we got 15 minutes of the show left. I want to be able to get your second song in, because I think that would be re really nice to do. So we can pick a moment for that. But what do you think? Based on the event that you had at Parliament, these amazing speakers. I happen to know that Eleanor Mills was on the speakers. I love Eleanor and the work that she's doing for,
Yes, brilliant, Anna.
50-year-old plus women. She calls them queen ages, and really
Yeah.
supporting that. I've been talking to my wife a lot about, there was something, actually, we were watching something yesterday. Oh, I know what it was. Something silly kids watch, Race Around the World. But there's a
I
son and
love
a
Race
mum
Around the
on
World.
it. And
Yeah, I saw it.
it's a really good show. And the mum said, you know, this is the first time that she's 50-year-old something or other. It's the first time that she'd ever felt in her whole life that she'd actually was able to kind of do something for herself. And I was like, gosh, that's just sad, isn't it? And my wife said, but I think that's probably how most women feel.
It
And I
is
was
how most women feel, and I
like,
think it's
whoa.
like an army. We've got an army, certainly in this country, of women who really do feel invisible, don't feel they've got a voice, and yet have got so much in the way of skills and experience and love.
Yeah.
We need to untap that energy. So that's kind of what I'm trying to get
Yeah.
to, is let's how do we untap that energy of that army, and we all get out there creating a world based on love and hope
Yeah.
and a
Yeah.
future for our children, our grandchildren in my
Yeah.
case.
And that's essentially why we've got this Love Your Mother campaign, because if we can remind people that, you know, without the woman, there would be no life, right? Without the earth, there would be no life. Like, you know, I'm very spiritual like you. I've spent, you know, the last 35 years, you know, with a Kriya practice, and I do some Buddhist meditation in the morning, some chanting, some yoga, all of that. But one of the trainings that was most profound for me was training with a female shaman in the UK. I think you might have met her back in the day. Her name was Judith Seelig. I think I
I
seem to remember
did.
her mentioning
I
your
do
name.
meet. I did work with Judith
Yeah. So
many
I
years
trained with
ago.
Judith for 15 years in the arts of
Oh, it's been a while.
shamanism and yoga and sacred sound. But the reason I'm sharing this is because I got a message when the pandemic happened. I was sitting outside, I was meditating in nature, and I kind of asked the question, you know, why are we getting this potential, you know, illness that can kill people? And the response that I got from nature, from, you know, whatever speaks to me through nature, was that we are so consumed by fear that this would be an opportunity for us to actually bring fear to the surface and maybe deal with that paradigm of fear. And that led me onto a bit of an inquiry with nature. And it was this, is that, and you said it already, that if we can change the story around the way that we're responding to the climate crisis and everything else on the planet that has been pretty much male indoctrinated, even when it comes down to the making of products, the whole thing, it's all kind of been male led. If we can actually spin that or reverse it and get the kind of the feminine story side to it, the woman side of the story, which, you know, in my very humble opinion, is very much based on love and nurturing and inclusiveness and non-competitiveness and, you know, all of those fundamental qualities that miss from modern society. Then nature, if we were able to spin around and offer gratitude and love and appreciation for the lives that we live, nature could fix this thing we're calling a crisis in a heartbeat, in a breath. But because the story is so predominant in the fear patriarchal aspect, you know, with greed and power and competition and blah, 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 that's what's feeding the story that we're living, right? So I know I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, and this is not about me, it's about you. But Lynn, what's your take on that? Because I get the work that you're doing. What's the impact it can have?
It's got to start at community. That's how I see it. It's got to start in small groups. I mean, there are women's circles and women's groups all over the place, and men's groups too. But I think that we need the people that are not, if you like, in the same mindset as us, the people that
Yeah.
perhaps are not following a spiritual path,
Yeah.
that are, this is all very new to. I think we really need to welcome and open the doors to them so that they can get in touch with their power and their connection with nature. And their understanding of what life purpose could look like for them,
Yeah.
because it's a changing world. And, in 5 years' time, somebody asked me over the weekend, what did I want for myself, or how did I see things in 5 years? I mean, in 5 years' time, things are going to look very, very different from they do today. And we have to keep the positive vision of what that could look like in 5 years. I mean, for me, in 5 years, I want to be healthy because I'm getting old, and I want to still have the energy to do the things I believe in. But
Yes.
I think that in 5 years' time, it'll be one way or another. We know that. We've had all the legacy work that's been sent down by messengers like the Kogis coming down from
Yep.
the Indians. We've had a lot of information out there, and the information is the human race has got to get their act together.
Yeah.
We've got to do it from the sacred feminine. Even the Dalai Lama has said in the past it will be the women of the West that can make the changes.
Yes.
We really have to make that commitment to, yeah, we can see that we can do it, and we can do it with young people, all cross-generational. I wrote a piece for a book I wrote. I've got it here, which I didn't have ready. It's called About the Cooperative Future, and it quotes Sister Jansen. I don't know if we've got long enough for me to read any of it, and I don't have it ready, but if I can find it,
Well,
it's basically
do.
talking about a cooperative future
Yeah.
where men and women are in cooperation, and human beings and the environment. Here it is. I'll just do it very. I'm going to talk
Please do.
fast.
Please do.
Goes on a bit. So it's called Shaping the Future. As women, we are traditionally the caretakers of our culture. Our responsibility is to understand and somehow make sure that the changes that are happening in our world preserve the basic humanity in us all. A more nurturing society can evolve, one that abhors violence, advocates such values as justice, compassion, and love, and raises its children to reach their full potential as human beings. When people talk with such idealism, they are often accused of being naive. How can we change a world that's solidly entrenched in the way of competition, domination, and violence? My answer is that without creating the vision, nothing can be achieved. And without having the intention for that change in our hearts, we will find ourselves living in a world that perpetuates everything that goes against our feminine sensibilities. There's a lot more to it. I don't think we've got time, but it's basically about a cooperative future. And if we're getting rid of the old patriarchal ways of running the world, it's essential to present a pragmatic vision of what we want to replace it with. We need an overall blueprint of what a new world based on principles of the sacred feminine would look like and how it would work. So I wrote that in 2004,
Wow.
and it's relevant now. Now is
Yeah.
when it was meant to be. So thank you for letting me read that. And that's, I guess.
No, thank you for reading it. I mean, it's interesting because community or cooperative, I mean, collaboration, co-creation, I call it. We've all got these different words, all beginning with C. It's interesting because what we've actually got now more than ever is a much more fragmented society, particularly with the youngsters that are using more mobile phones for, relationships rather than kind of in person. It's just and there's so much scientific proof now that actually all people want is community. They want to be part of
They want to
togetherness and
belong, they want to be
they want to
connected.
belong.
So, and
Yeah.
they want to be happy, which is, I don't know if you're going to have time to play my second piece of
We
music.
can play it out. So if I
Okay.
tell you what, we could end just with a bit, just with a minute, and then we could play your song out, which I think would be really lovely. But why don't you tell us the second song that you've chosen and why you chose it?
Okay, so it's A Perfect Day by Lou Reed, because I think it's really, really important for us to feel that every day is a perfect day. I mean, we may turn on the news and the most horrible things are on the news, and
Yeah.
it's not a perfect day for the poor souls that are actually being attacked or hurt or killed. But if we can make it a perfect day for ourselves, and we can create that sense of joy and love every single day, and we can resonate and raise our own vibrations, and through our own vibrations raising up, connect with Mother Earth, as you've talked about, and resonate with other people, and just keep that positive feeling going from one to one to one, even when things are as awful as they are at the moment, tragic. Terrible things that have happened over the weekend with these floods in Texas and so many things. So, but let's just keep our vibrational level high. Let's not buy into the dark. Let's keep it a perfect day.
Yeah, I absolutely resonate with you, and that is my main practice is keeping my vibration high so I can be the best version of myself for everybody that I come into relationship with. Now, look, if you felt inspired at all, particularly the women out there and the men that support the women, do go to whatwomenwantnow.co.uk. Let's get some of those big questions answered that are still, I mean, it's unbelievable that we do not have equality in this time, in
Yeah.
this day and
And if
age, right?
anyone wants to get hold of me as well, I'm on lymfranks.com and I'm on Insta and I'm everywhere, so people can find me.
Great.
Please get in touch with me directly as well.
That's very kind because I'm sure there's a lot of women out there with amazing stories, and Lynn wants to know about them so she can galvanize and build this community, this movement. 51% of the world's population are women, yet they're completely unrepresented. They should be majority represented. All my work is about supporting women. Let's play your next song, Lynn. Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank
Honestly,
you.
it's been a pleasure. I want to have you back on again because I feel like we've literally scratched the surface. But go on, then you announce this song. It's Lou Reed and
A perfect day.
it's a perfect day. We'll see you back here next week. Enjoy.
Thank you.